Shame on me. We're now recording. I apologize to everyone listening.
Start over.
Yeah, Andrew just pointed out that I wasn't recording, so we're in the middle of project updates. I apologize, everybody. Andrew, thanks for calling me out. I was convinced I wasn't going to forget today either, and then I went and forgot. Okay, other project updates that we want to discuss. James, I'm trying to figure out if we should talk about if the bifold should be a related meetings or if it should just be down here in the work updates. And I'm kind of thinking work updates since that since it is a code base focused.
I agree with that.
Do you want to give us a short work update focus thing? Is that for today before I make that adjustment?
Sure. So kind of already covered it, but we laid out today short-term, medium-term, long-term goals. That was went really well. We're working to merge in Animo's usage of various framework JavaScript. So we've got connections and receiving a credential issuance working. So making really good progress. And there is a line for that up above.
Oh, is there already?
Yes.
Oh,
underneath
nice.
Various framework JavaScript.
I totally didn't see it there. Perfect. Nice. Okay, that's what I was looking for, is the code. The code merge stuff is the good thing to mention there. So you've already done it. Excellent work.
Yep.
All right. Any other work updates before we keep going? Okay. On the agenda is the ever-present AIP2. I'm hoping that we can resolve the remaining issues. There's, I think, a couple of really easy ones to accept and merge. I think some of them need some updates to bring them current with master. And then there's some discussion around the accept header that I've actually prepared some drawings for to try and make that happen. So are there any other adjustments that we ought to be making before we get going?
I would like to add one issue. I created last week with the multiple format identifiers, if we can cover that for a few minutes.
What was that? Timo, sorry, the mic cut in and out a little bit.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
It's in and out. That was a no.
Oh, okay. So
that's better though.
Okay, yeah. So issue 599, I would like to cover that. It's a bit related to my other PR, but if we can go over it for a few minutes.
You said 599?
Yeah.
Excellent. Should we do that before or after the AIP work, or is it related?
It's related.
Excellent. I will just drop it in the list then. Okay. There is one thing I wanted to bring up. We've never had a formally organized sort of election of sorts for chairs of this working group, nor do I necessarily think we need to. But Stephen Kern and I have in the past kind of balanced that back and forth. He's been pulled into lots of other things. And so it's been primarily me recently. And I wanted to ask if there was anyone that would want to be involved in supporting the community and organizing meetings and stuff. I'm not seeking to go away from this meeting, but having someone that I could trade off every other week with or something similar would be useful. And that helps manage vacations and holidays and other conflicting things when they do occur. So what that means is that you would help organize meetings, do the wiki work necessary to make that happen, lead the calls, and be involved there. If you are interested, please reach out to me, and we'd love to have you on board. We've never really had an election of sorts because usually the people that do it are the people that don't step back fast enough. So if you are interested in helping to support that way, I would love to hear from you. You can find me on Rocket Chat or email. I'm telegramsam@gmail.com. And we would love to have your involvement there. So please do reach out. That is open. The other thing that I like to periodically mention is that if you have a topic that you want to discuss or a demo that you would like to give or anything of that nature, then please also bring that up. We try to find relevant topics, and we've had lots of to discuss with AIP recently, but hopefully as that concludes, we'll have more airtime for other topics. And those are worthwhile things to discuss. You don't have to be an expert to lead a discussion on the topic. You just need to get it started. And so sometimes that is like framing a problem and then having some questions, the preps that you have, that we can then discuss as a community and try to figure out what the best way forward is on that. So anyway, any types of involvement, both with topics, and if you are interested on a regular basis in helping to host the meetings, then that would be welcome. And please do reach out to either Stephen Curran or myself. And we will, we'd love to talk with you about it. Okay. Diving into the AIP stuff. I don't have tabs up yet for some of these things. Some of these are really easy. They've basically been done and ready, but they're I can't merge them because they're out of date with the base branch. So we get to George. Excellent. So George, this is one of them. This is the encode the keys with did key. This has been accepted and hasn't approved. We just need to update it to the base branch so that it'll merge.
Okay, will do.
Awesome. Any comments, questions about this, PR? All right. This is the out of band route coordination. And this I think has the same situation, George. This is PR 588. And it's been approved. We've had sufficient time. We just haven't been able to. This is actually a pair to the other one.
Yeah, I see that this conversation has been resolved. Was it resolved by Steven or?
No, I resolved it because.
Oh, okay.
Like we have an update to 2.11 that you did.
Yeah.
And that's been accepted. So I hit resolve on the conversation.
Well, okay, so I'm happy to merge this after I update.
Yeah, I think both of these are just ready to be updated mechanically and then are ready to be merged. The only real thing here was updating 2.11 with the same references and you went ahead and did that in this one. So I think both of those are ready to go. Okay, this is... The JSON-LD attachments. This is a new RFC that adds the relevant information. These top files are basically links to this. And then there is a new RFC here that describes how to make this happen. And we had some discussion on this last week. And then there's been, I was trying to catch myself up, there was a number of things immediately, I think, after last week's meeting based on this. Timo, any commentary on that?
No, yeah, I upgraded the RFC according to last week's meeting. And I think the unresolved part is still like what to do with the optional fields, as I mentioned over there. So are we making everything required or leaving some parts optional?
Is that the only remaining issue before this is ready to be merged?
Depends on if anybody else sees issues with it. But I haven't heard any comments besides it.
Timo, I got the sense that you and I are the main drivers on this. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And by proxy, Steven, via you. All right. So yeah. Let's work on this. Let's focus on this a little bit more. Can we attempt to have it in a more ready state by next call? Do you think that would be fair?
Yeah. Yeah. I think if we resolve this this issue, and I think it's mostly done between us, and I'm fine with either. So then we can resolve it.
Okay. Okay. So let's work on this during this coming week and try to have it ready by next call. All right.
Sure.
Excellent. Any other comments from anyone else on this particular PR? Okay. I'm going to skip 595 for a second, come back to that. This is the encryption envelope V2. This does relate to the other one as well. But let's see, my browser's being really slow right now. So this has, I'm looking at the wrong thing. This had comments. We have an update from Troy, and within the last 7 days. And then Andrew, you had a comment here. Are there any commentary on these, on the newest work on these?
My push was just to update to the DIDCOM V2 discussion, which is just saying P256, X25519, and P384. So I clarified that point in that push right there.
Right.
I guess we could talk about Andrew's point. I haven't done anything with that so far. Seems like it would have been a good discussion to have. I don't know if Andrew's on. There he is.
Yep. So the other thing that we're mentioning here too is that Andrew, you've detailed in your example a DIDCOM V2 body, and I believe this RFC so far just describes the outer envelope being more compliant with a DIDCOM V2, not necessarily the internal contents.
Yes, I was just raising this because the alternative is that going forward, we would have to do some content detection on the body to see, is this a JWM or is it an old style?
Oh, okay. It took me a second to see what you've done. This is clever. What you've done is you've wrapped the DIDCOM V1 style contents inside of a DIDCOM V2 style message.
Yeah. There's some ambiguity that I'm not really comfortable with, in that you can have the old style decorators in the body, but you can also have the properties of the outer envelope. So there's some overlap there potentially in the meanings. The ID is also repeated because it's required in both places.
So this does relate to the discussion that I've sort of prepared for a little bit. Thoughts, Troy?
I haven't thought too much about it. I mean, like originally the intention was just to say we have a new envelope format and of course just put the old content right in and basically just say if you have at ID versus ID, then you know which kind of content you have. So I think if we're having a discussion about content types and such, about how do I know, envelope format versus crypto versus contents, that's another good discussion to have because that's another way to signal things, right? So I don't know if that's the discussion you're getting into, but
that is the discussion I was hoping to get into. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a few ways to do this, right? So I think there's the inspection on like well-known properties like at ID versus ID, which is what the RFC currently says. There's the kind of make a dummy wrapper like this that Andrew suggested here, or there's the approach of just trying to be explicit in some higher layer about what's inside, right?
Yes. So this does turn out to be super related. Yeah. Go ahead, Andrew.
I guess it's at type versus type mainly that we'd be looking at. But I'm inclined to reject that option just because of the ambiguity over the decorators and also the way that attachments are represented is quite different in the new format. Although if the attachment is part of the envelope, that's going to create some confusion as well.
Yeah, so... this has been a confusing point, but that has existed in both this working group as we're trying to near to DIDCOM V2, and in the DIDCOM V2 working group as we're trying to make it possible to migrate from DIDCOM V1. It's a very similar conversation. So I attempted to put together some decision tree diagrams about what you actually do in various circumstances. So let me try to attempt to explain my diagram. And what I'm hoping we can do here today is fix the problems with my diagram, or such that we can both use a diagram and some text to explain the process that we're going to have as part of this sort of converging or migrating to the future, if you will. So let me try and explain this. And then this touches on most of the remaining RFCs that we need to discuss. So I think this will be a faster way to resolution than talking about those first. I have two sides to this diagram. The left side, I didn't update this. So this is not scan receive encrypted message. This is scan QR code. That makes more sense in my diagram then. Okay, so there's two things here. On the left is the process when you actually scan a QR code with an out-of-band message inside. And on the right is you actually receive an encrypted message and you're trying to figure out what to do with it. And these two things are a little different, but they share a lot of commonality. So I think discussing them together might be helpful. When you receive an encrypted message, the first thing that you're going to see is the outer encryption envelope. And from that, you're going to detect that it's either a JWE based one, or that's a one. It looks like a VI, but that's just the one in this font. It's a version one envelope. And so the end of this tree or the end of all the trees is what you actually send in response to the person. Based on what you've received, how are you going to actually send this to the other party? So if you receive an envelope that's a V1 envelope, then that's easy. You just send them a V1 message in response. If you receive a JWE envelope, then you look at the contents, and the contents will either be version one contents, which I've called JWE V1, so that the JWE encryption layer, but V1 contents, or you send them a V2 message if the contents are V2. And that way you would know how to send them back. So, and then briefly on the left-hand side here, if you're scanning a QR code that contains an out-of-band message, and I should probably put the out of band aspect in here. I'll do that. You're scanning a QR code which contains an out of band message. There's actually two types of formats that you're going to end up with out of band. There's the version one format and the version two format. The basic difference is the same, like ID and type stuff that we've talked about. They'll be different. And then, of course, attributes are either in the top level versus in a body. And so that's there. The next thing, and this relates to one of the PRs that Troy has submitted, is the accept header that's present in the out of band message. And the accept header indicates what type of envelope format the other party is actually expecting to receive. And I'm thoroughly convinced I have at least one error in my graphs here. So as we explore this, we can make a correction here. The idea here is that you looked at the accept header, and then you can figure out whether you're sending if the accept header is missing or it's V1. And it doesn't say actually V1, but there's values in it. We probably need to clarify that. Then you would send the user a V1 message. And the same thing, if it's a V1 format, but it says they accept V2, and I think this is where maybe where I have an error, you would send a V2 message and then the other way on the other way. It looks like you can arrive at either answer via either type of or either format of the out of band message. And that's true. In order to be able to do a transition here where all of those of us that are doing ARIES stuff can migrate to another one, it's nice if you can indicate in either the old or the new format that you can support both the old and new format. And that places, I think, the more minimal requirements on people trying to accept both in what they're actually going to parse out of an out of band message. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry for interrupting you. Can you clarify what you mean by format exactly?
This has nothing to do with encryption because it's an out of band message. So this is just the plain text encoding into the QR code is the format that I'm talking about there.
How do you determine whether it's V1 or V2?
Whether there's an at in front of the ID or not, or an at in front of the format. Type.
Okay. So what I'm just trying to understand here, what are you trying to signal here? Because like the end states say send V1 or send V2. Are we talking about the format of the inner payload or what? That's what I'm trying to understand here.
So this is the one that has the outer encryption envelope of a JWE, but V1 contents. This one uses V1 inner and outer. This one uses V2 inner and outer. That's annoying. Let me try to resize this. And then we have, and then this one is either V1 or V2. I think I have an error here in that we don't have an option in this one to send during the transition period a JWE V1.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something that I want us to be clear about when we talk about this. There is the encryption part, and then there is the inner payload format, which is either JWM or the existing stuff we have in V1.
Right, and I haven't expressed them when they align. So this is V1 inner, V1 outer. This is V2 inner, V2 outer. And then we have the transition format that's an optional target of the AIP2 that uses the JWE outer and the V1 inner.
Do we know what an out-of-band message looks like in JWM format yet? I think it uses an attachment.
That has, yes, but the current docs have not been updated. That's on my list to do. It was ported over originally from V1 and has not yet been adjusted to the changes we have subsequently made in V2. So, but the idea is that the base for outer format will change, which means that inspecting the type attribute for an at, it's either a type or an at type, is actually a really good way to tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so once you have an ongoing connection with another party, we're going to have to remember what format we're speaking with them. Like at the moment, you might want to remember if you establish the connection without a band or the connection protocol. Now you've got to remember which envelope format you're using. And potentially you also have to remember what inner message format you're using if we adopt just the envelope change.
Yes.
And there's not really a way to do, there's not really a way to do discovery on an existing connection to see if they now support, you know, the JWM format.
There could be, but we haven't defined a way. The Discover Features protocol is a lot more extensible in the next round.
Yeah, but doesn't the actual invocation of the Discovery Features protocol need, you know, don't you need to be careful about the actual format of that request payload?
You do, but what Andrew said specifically though was that after you already have a relationship with someone, how to know that they've moved up to the and now support the newer one.
And
in that particular case, you would be able to use it because you have an ongoing relationship. You're both using the older formats. You would be able to do a Discover Features protocol periodically and see if they actually update the new stuff and if they support it. And if they do, then you can just begin using it.
Well, I guess what you do is send Discover Features as a JWM and see if you get a problem report back.
Well, there's certainly a way to do that, right? Or get nothing back. But yeah. I think there's also the ability to send Discover Features in the old copy, you know, in the existing format that you know works and see what they say they support.
I really think this adopting the envelope format without adopting the JWM format is adding a lot of complexity. I'm definitely inclined to adopt both at the same time rather than one and then the other.
From our end, we can't move forward without the new envelope change. So I'm disinclined to accept AIP V2 without the new envelope.
It is worth noting that it's an optional target, which provides those that do want to support it with a fixed place to target for interoperability, but it is not required for everyone to do just yet in order to claim AIP2 interoperability or compatibility, I think was the word I needed. I acknowledge both both George and Andrew here. This does add a lot of complexity because you can't just be strictly V1 or strictly V2. On the other hand, we have a scenario where, because of encryption architecture concerns, they are unable to use a non-JW based format because of the mechanics of how V1 was constructed.
And they're not using JWM format for messages.
No.
Streamer Go is not using JWM, no, but it is already capable of using the new envelopes.
And it's not capable of using the old envelopes?
Yes.
The old envelopes don't work with the KMS strategy that we have.
Correct.
Because the old envelope format doesn't support key wrapping.
Right.
So we've tried to thread the compromise by making it an optional target in AIP2. And that means that it is not a complete blocker for people that don't want to do it, but does allow for people that want to move forward to be able to make that change. If DIDCOM 2 were like a thing right now, or was going to be a thing and it was in its very, very final steps, I would feel comfortable saying, hey, let's just change the internals too. The problem is that's still a moving target, and implementing moving targets is kind of like exactly what AIPs are supposed to prevent, right?
Yeah, but we can't really separate. I mean, DIDCOM 2 isn't going to move the envelope to a separate specification, is it?
Well, they are
the envelope JWE-based. Is JWE.
Yeah, so it's JWE-based outer envelopes.
It's not just JWE, it is JWE, right? So
yeah, yeah.
We don't have a concern about some separate spec, because literally what this RFC is saying is use a standard approach for the envelope, which is JWE.
That one of the reasons that we have this available now and we didn't in the past is that we're using JWE envelopes with ECDH1PU, and ECDH1PU wasn't yet a thing when we first created the version 1 of the encryption envelope. So it's right. now easier to do when it wasn't before. I mean, sometimes I look at these things and I'm like, why did we make that decision? Well, we didn't have the same stuff back then, and we're trying to make something work, right? So now that ECDH1PU is a thing, then using that allows us to get all the features we need out of a JWE, and then we can move to that direction.
I mean, like, all we're talking about here, I think, is these two topics, right? What is the format of the envelope and what is the format of the message inside? And I think this entire discussion is just, what is the best way to signal that?
Well, we're talking about using half of one standard and half of another.
I disagree, because I view them as two different layers completely. So I kind of reject the notion that these things are coupled.
Me too.
I think we've treated them as coupled in the past, Andrew, and the motivation is to not to, particularly for this. So these diagrams, these decision trees, become simpler if you are not intending to support the optional target of the JWE envelope in DIDCOM V2, meaning you're either doing version 1 or version 2, and they're relatively split along those lines. The part of that, how that plays out, I believe, will depend on exactly how long DIDCOM V2 becomes stable enough to build upon. This is a temporary state. We recognize that. And if the temporary state ends up being like a month, then I think there might be fewer people that approach that. If the temporary state ends up being a year, then I think for compatibility reasons, there may be efforts to support this intermediate format in order to enable broader compatibility in the ecosystem before DIDCOM V2 is available. Now, I don't want DIDCOM V2 to take that long, but until it's done, I can't accurately predict how long it's going to take. So the function of including this in AIP2 is that it gives us a half step forward that enables broader compatibility before we get all the way to DIDCOM V2.
Yeah, but I'm worried about adopting this temporary state that ends up being a dead end with no upgrade path.
Of course, another solution would be everybody upgrades the envelope format, but you know, I assumed that was a harder push, right? But like that also works.
that would also work. The primary reason against including that in the core AIP 2 is just that it will delay the adoption of some of the other improvements that people are looking forward to reaching interoperability on.
I mean, that's also part of the point about it really isn't coupled, right? It is an independent variable here that the envelope format is compatible with both these inner payloads. So it can, you can first upgrade the, everybody can upgrade the envelope first and then later the inner payloads, or we can do content detection. But, you know, in general, I think every time we don't have a discussion about how to properly signal envelopes versus message means next time this happens, we're going to have this discussion again and another long conversation about transitions.
And and have to release a whole new AIP profile version just to achieve this.
So when you mentioned path forward, Andrew, I think there's two aspects of that. One is the work we did for this temporary state wasted? The other one is, can I accurately tell between the middle state and the V1 and the V2 states, right? Of making this happen. State's the wrong word. Can I tell the difference between doing this the V1 way or the V2 way or the one that blends them both as a half step? And I have two answers there. Number one, we definitely need to make sure that we can accurately tell the difference, which is part of this discussion, so that we can know what's actually being passed specifically and be able to process it so that there's not like ambiguousness or we have some like attempt and fail type of coding method for doing this. As far as lost effort is concerned, from an upgrade path perspective, the JWE processing here will be incredibly similar, if not identical, to the JWE processing that will be necessary for DIDCOM V2. The processing of the internal payload will be different, but that's going to be different anyway. And so changing the outer encryption format at this point is not lost effort going to DIDCOM V2 because of the similarities that it will share.
Yeah. I think.
Go ahead. Sorry, I just had a question. So like, I mean, are we, with this target, are we saying that people can claim AIP interop support, the 2.0 without supporting the old envelope?
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe I'm missing something.
You've pulled out a good nuance in that you could. If they don't support the old envelope, then does it really mean anything? And I think it does become meaningful if people support AIP2 and the JWE format with anyone else that also supports the JWE format. So you've actually pulled out a nuance that's important, but I'm not sure we have a way of getting around.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
The way around is to say that's not interop then.
Well,
say there's a standard for what the interop is or it's not, you know, so.
I am happy if everybody upgrades their envelopes right now, right? So.
Well, obviously you would be happy for that.
Right. So, I mean, the challenge is we have software that doesn't work without key wrapping. So that thing can't do the old envelope format because the old envelope format can't do key wrapping. So we're kind of stuck.
Yeah. Well, I understand the hard place you're in. I'm just, you know, I'm just taking from my perspective what I'm hearing. I'm not saying we have to go one way or another, but it doesn't make sense to me to say that we have an interoperable standard if we don't have a clear contract as to what that means. So
yeah. I think at a minimum, we'd have to define how you handle You know, if somebody sends you a V2 message in a V2 envelope, but you only support the V2 envelope and V1 messages, you know, what's the proper response there? We'd have to define that ahead of time.
So we do. I think the overlap is actually going to be really small there, meaning I don't believe people in the DIDCOM 2 community are really going to be trying very hard to reach backwards to DIDCOM V1. What we do need is a way for DIDCOM V1 people to add DIDCOM V2 support without having to drop their existing DIDCOM V1 connections. And so I don't think this is going to be an issue. It's only a step forward, if that makes sense. There's not really going to be any efforts to step backwards.
Yeah, that's my sense as well. I tend to see this as a one-way arrow. But of course, if anyone has any other, you know, an opposing viewpoint, we'd be happy to hear and consider it.
Well, my opposing viewpoint is, it sounds like if I don't support this target, you and I can't talk. Like, if you aren't going to support the old, you know, the old pack or envelope, then we're just not interoperable. Even though we both claim that we're, you know, Aries interop profile too.
Right.
Which
so,
just like, just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, so we say that we're on the same standard, but we're not.
So, okay. So I'm kind of doing another thing at the same time. So bear with me, but, so in the core part or in the core section of AIP, we have the old JWE or whatever you want to call it, the old encryption format, right? So that's still there in AIP 2.0. If it's not, then that would be a surprise for me. Are we double checking, Sam?
Yeah, I was just looking while you're talking. Sorry, go ahead. No, it is. I just was
okay. And the new encryption format is a sub target, right? So the point here is everyone supports the existing encryption format. Every Swimmer Girl already does that, and optionally support the new encryption format.
To be clear though, the software on top of Aries Framework Go that has this KMS need does not support the old envelope format, right? So you are correct in that statement that if you don't support the new envelope format, the system that needs key wrapping capability can't talk to you.
Yeah. So I am not sure where Devin is coming from. All I can say is that if we were to plug our frameworks today in the Aries agent harness, since it's at the framework level, the tests should theoretically pass both with the existing encryption format and the new encryption format sub-target.
So there's two software projects that you guys are working on. One of them is Aries Framework Go, which does support the old encryption format. So the Go library itself is compatible with, or would be compatible with AIP2.
Yeah, and then it's our core bedrock, and then on top of it, we build, you know, a bunch of very cool stuff. And so, to satisfy our use cases, and Troy, and I agree, Troy keeps reiterating, and it's a good thing that we want to keep the key wrapping in place, because our use cases demand remote KMSs when you use HSMs or whatnot, or web KMS, for instance.
Right.
So we want to keep using that.
So you have a product built upon Framework Go that it would not be AIP2 compatible because you cannot support with the encryption method that you need.
No, it would not be. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So technically, yeah, the product, no, the library framework, yes.
Right. So I guess the nuance here, Devin, is that it would require for not the framework Go, but for the higher level, they would have to qualify their compliance with AIP2 with the fact that they don't support the original encryption level, but do support the optional target for DIDCOM V2 prep. And what that means is that anyone else that supports AIP2 with that target would be compatible with that other software package, but not without it. And so I understand your point that why are we calling this compatibility when it isn't, but I actually believe that properly qualified, this indicates what is compatible and what isn't.
Well, I think with those qualifications, it makes total sense.
So,
So Devin, real quick, and sorry, maybe I should do a better job of tracking this, but which framework or product are you coming from?
I'm with Evernym.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. And you know, it's not like I don't want people, like I'm not trying to be antagonistic. I just want to make sure that what we say by, you know, AIP 2.0, we're clear that's, you know, I think with those qualifications, it's perfectly clear.
So what I think we could do is add a little bit of language underneath this target because of the weird nature of this particular one and have some language to that effect. Meaning if you have a product that doesn't support the encryption format and only supports this one, then you need a little bit of an asterisk and a qualification to claim DIDCOM 2 compatibility. Otherwise you're right, it's meaningless. Even if you're using a framework, but you're excluding one of the features the framework has that actually gets you DIDCOM or AIP2 compatibility, then it's a little disingenuous to claim full compatibility for a product that doesn't use that feature, right? So, but I think we could add that qualification under here, and I think that it will functionally be the right thing, but avoid the confusion, Devin, that you're mentioning.
Okay.
Does that, any thoughts, George or Troy?
Yeah, I mean, that's effectively the situation. We were careful in the framework to make sure that we support the full breadth, but we have this one situation that we just can't really do anything about. And, right. You know, if we put some text there about that, that's all fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm inclined to say, I mean, this only generally matters when you're establishing a connection, right? So you maybe resolved some of these did, you're looking at a service endpoint, or you've received an invitation from somewhere. So, I mean, if we give DIDGOM B2 envelope a separate service type, that avoids the confusion there. And an agent could potentially have two services. It could have a service for B1 and a service for B2 with different keys. So you could at least receive V1 messages without going to your KMS in that case, for instance.
So there's a part I didn't put on here now that I'm realizing, and that is what if you just start with a did, and which makes it implicit out of band, but that's important because you don't have some of the stuff out of band actually does, right? So In that case, you're actually going to, the decision here is that you're going to be inspecting the
did document.
The did document service endpoint type.
Or some other aspect of the service block, I suppose.
Well, we've already decided that they'll have different service endpoint types, right? So, which means if you support both of them, you're going to have two endpoints, as you mentioned, one with one type, one with the other type. They could technically, if you wanted to, be the same, or they could be different, just to provide you a hint on the inside that that's actually happening. So you're right in the fact that now the service endpoint type doesn't, we have not handled the case, nor do I believe we have a proposal to, we have not handled the case where we're going to do this middle step, meaning the JWE outer and the V1 inner. It's either straight did version one or version two, if you start with just a resolvable did. If you start by either receiving a message from the other party, then you follow this path. If you start with a QR code, then you follow this path. But there's not a way defined to start with just a resolvable did and know that the middle step is a possibility. And I forgot to include that in this diagram. So I need to work on this a little bit more to add some clarifications, but I think I'm approaching some clarity here that we can turn into some, what I'm hoping to do is explain the decisions you have to make at each step in this decision tree and what to inspect to get there. Like I mentioned, you can either inspect the mime type or the or inspect the envelope at this particular level. If you have HTTP, for example, and the mime type is present, you could use that. If not, you're going to have to inspect the envelope. But I want to be clear about what inspecting the envelope actually means. You know, can we define if it contains this attribute, then it's this. If it contains this attribute, then it's that. And that way, we're not trying to foist that decision-making process on a whole bunch of separate developers. And documenting that would be really useful.
And I do think we need to specify what the expected behavior is if you receive something you don't support. Even if we added a V2 service type, which just imply the envelope format and not the inner message format, you could be receiving V1 messages that you don't necessarily support because you've moved on to JWBM messages.
I don't actually believe there's anything you can do with a format you don't support. If you don't support it, you're not going to be able to send a response back to the person.
Well, you've decoded the envelope. I think that's enough to encrypt a message back to them.
Maybe.
I guess you...
If you can't decode the envelope, you're done. If you...
Yeah, you don't necessarily know their endpoint because there'd be a DID document in there.
Right. If you... if it's a relationship you already have, then you're already communicating anyway. This is really only an issue when it's a new person that you're communicating with, right? So if you can't encode the envelope, then you're done because you can't even get keys out of it, right? If you don't understand the envelope. If you do understand the envelope, but you don't understand the inner contents, then you're at the content inspection level, then there's not a lot you can do there. I guess you could send back a problem report, but it depends a lot on being able to decode. For example, in the version one, we have some special things like service decorators that we use, and those are gone in version two. And instead we have that encoded into the from DID of the envelope, and you're not going to really be able to do that. So if you receive a message that you don't understand, there's not a lot you can do. Which is why the good news about that is that a lot of our interactions that we're going to have are going to be, at least initially, going to be based off of scanning a QR code. The good part about that is we can, with the accept header, we can place inside the QR code enough information to figure out exactly what the other person is capable of receiving. And then by the time we outgrow that and we have a lot of more types of interactions here, we're going to be, I think, more thoroughly on V2, and the actual problem area might not even exist or will be substantially simpler or smaller just because of the migration that's happened since then. Does that make sense? Any thoughts, George and Troy, on my attempt at decision trees here?
Yeah, I think it's a good diagram. I think the main discussion to have is just like the best way to signal the inner and outer format. And you know, regardless of all this other discussion, I think that's actually a good thing anyways, right? I think we have these three parameters, the envelope format, the inner format, and the crypto. And you know, finding the best way to signal it is basically making any future transitions much easier.
Do you think we have done that sufficiently with the accept headers?
I personally think the accept header like is the right way to do the outer format, and I think it. And the reason I did it that way was to mirror the HTTP mechanism for effectively the same thing. I think there's this discussion about inner format and the best spot to put it, or just do content detection. But I felt like the accept was a good way. I think there's a kind of a parallel discussion when there's optionality in crypto that you'd also need some mechanism to signal that if there is optionality in the crypto suites. And then this inner thing, right? And the inner thing kind of ends up being content detection, or you know, put like a type into the envelope so you know what you're getting. Otherwise you're sticking it into the mime type, like basically compound type, and people have different opinions on that, obviously.
I like the idea that the envelope specifies the format of the thing inside of it, because that makes it a really easy place to detect it and have that decision. And so I don't know that we've clearly done that as we need to in DIDCOM V2.
Yeah, I mean, if DIDCOM V2 sticks that into the envelope format, obviously that makes this content detection problem go away. So
yeah, that sounds like a good idea. The I'm just regarding the accept header. While I agree that was a good idea for the out of band message, it's not something we can support in the DID documents, I don't think. So in that case, the service endpoint type might be a better option.
Right. And unless we declare a middle service endpoint type for the mix, we're just not going to have that support. And my inclination is to only do that if we absolutely have to.
The endpoint type could refer to the envelope format, and then you receive an envelope that says, actually, I'm a V1.
That's yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, as long as the V2 envelope format has that capability of signaling what's inside, then we're only needing to signal the outer type here. So it would all be fine.
Yes. So I have written a note to check that. Did you already have a PR against that over on the V2 side, Troy?
For the content type? No, but I think I think George has been having a discussion about that. Maybe George, is that right?
Content type, JWT header.
In the envelope?
Yes, in the envelope, that's correct.
Okay, it's already going.
Apparently, Kyle already had a similar idea. So we're sort of like roughly aligned on that.
Cool.
Can I ask, before we completely settle on this, can we make a diagram? This might be because I'm a little bit more visual, but the words about, you know, the inner and the outer and declaring types and so forth feel a little bit fuzzy to me still in my brain. And I think if I could draw a picture that shows an envelope and what the envelope tells me about what's inside, I would be more confident that I fully understood this. I'm feeling like we're headed in the right direction. I just want something that actually I could show somebody that captures the idea.
Oh, I love that idea.
I would be willing to try it. I'm not trying to push the work off on somebody else, but I'm not sure that I would be accurate at capturing like what's in Troy's mind. Cause I'm not, that's the very thing I'm fuzzy about. So I could either attempt it and see if I got it right, or somebody who's confident they know exactly what they mean could draw it. Either one would be fine with me. It would be helpful to me.
Yeah, I'll just give you like the, I'll try two sentences and see if it helps you. So the outer is referring to the envelope itself, right? So if I had the mouse, I would be highlighting the envelope, but outer just means envelope. And so when we say the accept header from that out of band, what we're saying is we're signaling what is the format of that envelope. And inside the envelope, in a header of the envelope, let's say there's a property that says, what is the content of the structure that I will pull out from this envelope? So you end up with two content types, one of the envelope itself, which is nice because when we talk about service endpoints, you only have to talk about service endpoints for envelope versions. And if we only ever ended up with two, we'd only ever have two. Similar with the accept header. And once you get that envelope, then you can inspect a property on the envelope and then find out the content type of the contents of the envelope and then parse the contents according to that inner property. Sorry, that was more than a sentence or two, but like, I hope that helped.
That kind of confirmed things, but here's an example of the fuzziness. Is the envelope declaration of the content type the only place that the content inside the envelope is declared, or is it redundant? In other words, the envelope says, you know, I contain apples. And when you actually start grabbing the fruit out of the envelope, sure enough, you can tell from the fruit itself that it's an apple also. Do you know what I mean? I'm wanting to know where there's any redundancy, if at all.
So, I mean, sometimes people put redundancy in the outer content type, like, you know, adding more and more pluses. but as long as the envelope itself has a property of what's inside, you don't really have to do that. Like on the outside, all you really need to do is signal, this is JWE, let's say, plus enough information to know this is Aries, and you can look at the inner type and pull it out and find out what's inside, right? That's about it.
So what I'm imagining is that plain text messages and possibly also encrypted messages, so something still in an envelope, could, just like physical messages, be divorced from the postal system. So, you know, going to, let's say, FedEx or DHL or somebody and saying, I'm going to ship a package to my friend, and this package, I'm declaring that this package that I've brought you contains chocolates. That's great. But later when the package gets delivered and you rip off the outer container, you have some other way of determining that it's chocolates besides the packaging, right? And if you left the box of chocolates somewhere else, it would still be detectable as a box of chocolates, even though it no longer had an envelope, right?
Yeah, I mean, to clarify what this is, it's basically you rip off the envelope, but keep the header and inspect the header and find out what's inside. So it's like, you know, you can detach the, when you're throwing away the packaging, you can detach this label and keep the label. I'm stretching these metaphors, but like, that's basically what I'm trying to get at. You keep the information from the header of the envelope so that you know how to parse what's inside.
So there's two ways, right? You can do content detection, which is I'm going to like inspect this thing and sleuth out what it is, or something external tells me what it is. So the out of band, I've tried to draw here. So the out of band message has an accept attribute, which indicates the types of messages that the recipient can process. So that's the type of this outer envelope, which is the encryption layer. I should probably put encryption here.
Right. And that part makes a total sense to me. Yes.
And then what we don't have super well yet is defined, hey, does this outer envelope say what the inner thing is? And it's naive to assume that that's never going to be updated. And so it's better to say something about it so that when we come up with a new thing, that's good. An obvious example here is that, hey, this is JSON, but what if it isn't JSON in the future? What if it's CBOR or something else? And so knowing what this is means you don't have to sleuth out the encoding of this particular thing. And then inside here, message type is actually another format of this, because when you get a message, you're like, okay, I know I'm expecting a message with a certain format, but it's going to have like other attributes and stuff. So, but you know, from this level here, you know that you can parse it as JSON and that you can inspect the message type. And as soon as you do that, now you know which other attributes ought to be available. And so what we're missing, so the accept attribute solves this problem from an out-of-band message perspective. And having a pointer here would means that as long as you're capable of processing the outer message, you would be able to detect the content of the inner message.
Right. And then in JWE, that's just, I believe that's the CTY property.
Yes, I think so.
Okay. You just used the pronoun that. Is that the thing that was just blue in when Sam was highlighting there?
So the content type of the inner format is called CTY in JWE land.
And do we expect CTY to have a value that is a MIME or media type or something else?
Yes.
Yes to which?
I'd expect a MIME type, yes.
Okay. Just linked a related issue which says it should be set to JWN.
Can we put examples of the media types that we would expect here?
Yeah, so I think this is where we just start talking about when we start down this path, it just means make a set of MIME types for the outer envelope, which is, you know, basically JWE versus whatever you want to call V1. And make a MIME type for the inner payload, which should signal this is JWM versus V1 format, right? And we have two lists of MIME types at that point, and it's very easy then to go down the parsing tree.
Okay, yeah, this diagram helped me quite a lot. And if we could supplement it with examples, as George just asked, then I would be 100% confident. But even this much of a diagram helped me a ton. The message type in the inner box there is quite a different thing. So really we have three different types we're dealing with. The type of the outer envelope, the generic type of plain text messages or whatever, which is that CTY thing, and then the specific flavor of message, which is the inner message type thing. If we color coded them red, green, and blue or something, then I could say red is this one and green is that one. But anyway, So the message type in the inner thing is the type of the plain text. The CTY is the type of the structural container for plain text. Right?
Yep. Keep going.
Okay. And then the outer one is the type of the envelope. Okay.
So
yeah, this could clear now. Yeah. Sorry to be dense. I was just
No. So this could also be MIME type. If it doesn't come from an out of band, this could be MIME type on an HTTP transport.
Correct.
Yeah. And just to clarify, would we be using a different CTY for V1 messages?
I would think that would be the way I would think that's what we should do. I think we should have a CTY for V1 versus V2.
We have an RFC that already specifies the values that would go in CTY if we expect them to be MIME types.
Yes.
And we have the same RFC specifies the MIME type of the encryption envelopes as well. It does not specify the value of this third thing, which is the plain text message type. That's the thing that's specified in individual protocols, right?
Yes. So we just need to the third one. I'm pretty comfortable with. What we need is to declare the type of this box and to declare the type of this box in consistent ways. And George and Kyle already have an argument going in DIDCOM V2 working group to instead of saying JWM all the time, to be able to say what that actually is. And it could be JWM 01 or 1 or something. And based on whatever they pick, we can just pick what we want the version 1 or DIDCOM V1 to be, just so that it's non-conflicting. And now we have something besides content inspection that we can use in this decision tree. Why is this not working? There we go. So that rather than looking at the contents and sniffing the contents, we can actually check the contents of that outer envelope and say, oh, this is what's happening here, right?
And while content inspection works very well for at type versus type, there could be future formats that we'd want to use in the plain text of the message. I think supporting it is important.
Yeah, I fully agree. Like I much prefer that we come up with a strategy that lets us transition over time, not just for this discussion, but in general, right? That we decouple these two topics. I think the crypto one is a different one, but these two topics means that, you know, if we have a stable envelope format for a long time and we change the inner, like that's fine, and vice versa. And this will be the last time we have to have like a big transition discussion, I think. And I think that'd be great. And if it's well-defined, we don't have to do the content inspection and we're completely relying on types, and that makes parsing easy. So I'm very happy if we can say that the CTY is how we will define this. We just define a MIME type for V1. V2 just has to pick something else, and like we're good to go.
So the RFC that has the answer to the defining of these types is RFC 44. And it is currently aligned with a different statement of MIME types that is in the DIDCOM V2 spec. So right now there is no disharmony about what the specs think the MIME types for their respective versions ought to be. If we change and decide we want to evolve RFC 44, then we need to update the DIDCOM V2 work to remain in sync with it, or vice versa.
So one of the complexities of the using the CTY is that the CTY says, right now it says JWM, which means that that it follows the JWM spec as to what the contents are, but there's not a case for actually versioning that yet. And that's Kyle and George's argument over there, is that we should be more specific. Or can we say JWM colon something to be able to make that more specific? And that's where that argument's going. However, I don't think there's anything wrong with us saying, we're not gonna put JWM there. We're gonna put another thing that indicates this, right? That allows us to indicate that we're gonna have a version one contents to a JWE. And that shouldn't need to conflict with anybody. It's unlikely that the DIDCOM V2 group is gonna choose the same value, which means that I think we can just say what we want that content type to actually be. And if it's not JWM or it's not anything that group is going to choose, it would be fine. So what I mean is, in this RFC, you may already say this here.
Well, I have to add CTY to this one.
Okay. My point, though, is I think you can just pick something sane and it won't conflict.
Yeah, I'm perfectly happy to update this to delete this text about content detection. Say we're using CTY, and if we just have a suggestion on that content type, I can just put that suggestion in.
So I feel like I'm saying something, but it's not getting through. There is no suggestion. There's already a defined value that's been agreed on by both communities.
Oh, perfect. Can we just go? Can we just open it and see what it is? Because I just want to have the thing to paste in. That's all I'm trying to get.
If you pull, we can do it in either the DIDCOM V2 data or in the DIDCOM V2 or V1 stuff, because they're consistent about that. So if you go to 44. Okay. What we want for the inner one is the DIDCOM plain text message. Scroll down. So this is, if you're talking about a plain text message in DIDCOM V1 format, the MIME type of .dm files is application JSON or application JSON flavor equals that. Okay. If you go look now, pull up Sam, pull up the DIDCOM V2 spec.
That RFC what we're looking at has a nice table comparing them side by side, I think.
Yeah, if you scroll down further in 44, there's a summary of the MIME types.
Oh, that's a good one. Only it doesn't have the extra part here. It doesn't have the flavor on there, which would be nice. Although there is a differentiation. We're saying JSON versus the DIDCOM plain plus JSON is what it says over there. So the question is do we want to use this, Daniel, or do we want to use the one with the flavor included?
Yeah, we could change that and say we want to do the flavor one. I would be totally cool with that.
So I think this is the value, Troy.
Okay, so I will put into 587. That if it's this value highlighted, that means a V1 message. And if we scroll down until somebody makes an update to DIDCOM working group, if it's this, it's V2.
Yes, there's this other wrinkle that's important. And this will be more expressed, I think, or more commonly done in V2, that you're going to be able to take a plain text message, sign it, then encrypt it, which provides you a non-repudiable DIDCOM message. And so the contents may actually be this, and then inside the signed message will be this.
Okay. And I mean, I can just link to the RFC for that further discussion, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
We in V1, we don't have this extra sign case, do we? This
We kind of talked about it. No one's ever done it.
Okay, so that one doesn't. I mean, that's in theory right now, that middle row for V1. Yeah. And V2 plans to have all three rows.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, perfect. And it may be that no one ever builds the middle row for DIDCOM V2, but I think it's probably more likely.
Okay. So how about this? I'll update 587 to say, look at CTY to figure out the parser. I'll give these examples and then, you know, kind of reference the RFC 44 for kind of the authoritative answer.
Love it.
I will also put a quick PR in against 44 to just pull out the most generic version there, application/JSON, and replace it with the flavored one.
Okay.
Okay.
Is everybody happy with the solution that we can make these changes and we're good, or is there any other comments?
Was this discussion around what to put in the CTY header or at the top level? I'm not sure by now if it's inside the out-of-band message or the transport layer.
This discussion was the CTY in the JWE. Okay. For signaling so the outer envelope, V2, I still think accept is good.
So for CTY, V2 is actually fixed to JWM at the moment.
And there is an argument to unfix it from JWM or provide additional information. We'll continue to have that over there to figure that out.
Okay, so I think in 587, I will say for CTY, if it's the DIDCOM1 parameter that we have in RFC 44, it's DIDCOM V1. And if it's something else, then it's up to you to handle it or not based on what you support, e.g. DIDCOM V2.
Yes, I think that's good language because then we don't have to keep updating the stupid thing when the DIDCOM V2 work changes something.
Perfect. And yeah, George, for your other question, like I think for the outer envelope, I still think accept. I haven't heard some, I think there's these two cases. I don't know if we completely finished it, but in the outer band, I think we're talking about this accept header. It also works if it's an HTTP transport and you're doing it that way. Was there some other discussion about accept?
This was the accept header, I believe. And we had this conversation about what in the heck are we using the accept header for? And that's what I hope this diagram helped differentiate.
Well, my point was that maybe we should just use a service type instead.
I don't believe we actually currently encode the service type in the out of band message in version
1. No, but maybe we should.
Sam, that would actually tweak the PR you raised against the peer did spec too, where you have DM is DIDCOM messaging. You'd have to say that's the replacement for the V2 service type, and there's some other replacement for V1.
That would be possible to do without changing my structure. I could include an additional shortened header if I want a common term, but that would also work.
Yeah.
So we could go with that instead of the accept header, and that would actually align it with this, with the exception that we don't have a way using the service endpoint type currently to point to the middle ground.
Yeah, I think it's either that or we define, you know, there's one DIDCOM service type and it can have an accept attribute or something in there, and we define the meaning of that.
I don't like doing that because it pushes more changes into DID docs, which I don't want to do.
Yeah, I mean, they've certainly been back and forth in whether you can add any attributes you want to service endpoint, but we already do recipient keys and routing keys, which...
No, we do, but I'd like to keep that to a minimum. I actually like the idea a lot of modifying this to include the service type. The out of band stuff to include the service type, which is actually like already a thing that DIDCOM V2 will do with their out of band because they just use the from header.
Yeah.
Which means that the only thing that it would require is an adjustment to the V1 out of band, and then it would be in alignment.
And we'd probably have to get rid of the short form that's just a string for the service entries.
Probably, yes. But we should do that anyway.
So, Sam, I missed something about, like, we didn't have the middle ground. All we need to do is signal V1 versus JWE for the envelope type, and then we inspect CTY anyways. So I think I missed something about why we don't have the middle ground.
Well, we don't. You're right. We do have the middle ground because you're just gonna inspect. Well, here's the issue. If I have a DID and I resolve it, and I'm looking at the endpoint type, it only tells me a different. It only says, hey, you're doing version one or version two. It doesn't say do JWE plus a version one content. Now we could solve that by declaring a different service endpoint type for the middle ground. That again gets into things where we're like, how official do we make it? Do we actually push it through and register it as an official service type in the DIDCOM extensions? Or do we ignore it and kind of just use it in our community until the transition is finished?
Yeah, but you have that in the left diagram too then.
Over here?
Yeah.
Well, that's because the accept header enables it. No, you're right. If we drop the accept header in favor of the service endpoint type, we would have the same problem. And so we ought to say it. But I guess what I'm kind of saying is that we should pick a value that indicates this. And then maybe we just don't push it into the DID core spec. We just use it within QR codes.
Yeah. Yeah. So on the left side, I think what we'd be saying is the accept has both the envelope MIME types and also the inner MIME types all in that array, right? Is that what we're getting at there? And that's why the middle ground shows up on the left side?
Yes, that currently works. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And on the middle one, because we don't have this flexibility on accept, we get kind of limited. And if we ever want to rotate, if you ever want to keep the outer envelope but rotate the inside structure, we're going to get stuck again.
Yes. And without creating a new service endpoint type, which we could. In the future, moving forward, we could create a new service. So we're not totally stuck. It just involves a brand new service.
It's a little unfortunate though, like, because if we stay on JWE for a long time, we might not have to actually introduce new service types. But if we kind of constrain ourselves this way, we will. So it would be nice to be able to signal to decouple the inner format from the outer format in each of these diagrams.
I have mixed feelings about this. I totally understand what you're saying. We also get to a situation where it's like super complexity specified all the way down and people just swear and walk away. And I realize you probably think I'm ridiculous in saying that, and that it's not all the way down. All we got to do is sort of declare it at each of these levels, but that's part of the thing that I think it's easy to fight. It's always easy to solve a problem by adding another envelope, right? Or adding another container or adding another thing. And you've got to fight against the, I believe it's worth the fight against that bloating to the fact where everything is fully specified, but no one wants to use it. And as evidence, I point to SOAP, right?
Yeah. Well, it seems like the accept is still useful in the out of band because it is nice to be able to signal that in out of band. So totally I don't know is. That we should.
Although what Andrew was proposing was that we replace the proposed accept attribute with the actual declaration of the service endpoint type at the other end, and then it would align the middle and the left.
Yeah, I got that, but then we can't signal that middle case
unless we just come up with a service endpoint that does signal the middle case.
Or we add another way to indicate, actually, I accept a V1 message, even though I said I'm a V2 endpoint type.
Right.
That would be kind of a transitional.
Yeah. I still have like good feelings about accept because I think it maps nicely to those doing HTTP transports as well. So I don't know. I still like that capability.
I don't know that I have a preference one over the other, except maybe that the accept one is already exists as a PR and the other one doesn't yet.
Well, the accept one doesn't really allow for the two service endpoints. I'm suggesting because it sounds like the key handling is very different depending whether you're doing V1 or V2, and you may need different keys to support both.
I don't think that's going to be a problem, mostly because the only people that are ever going to use this middle type is the V1 folks. The V2 folks are going to ignore it entirely. They're just going to proceed forth with doing V2 stuff. So we are out of time. This has been a super good discussion. I'm going to attempt to make some adjustments and formalize some more things that helps clarify these issues. These are important ones. I appreciate everyone's time. Anything that you can do to help move forward the PR so that we can get AIP2 moving and or not moving, it has been moving, but finished, that would be appreciated. And I hope everyone has a fantastic week. This has been a super good discussion, and I hope you have a great one.
All right. Cheers.